Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61:1-4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. That's what God wants to do. He wants to build us back up. And we need to acknowledge a truth to do that. Truth. We're just going to start with, actually, from John Adams, 1797, quote, "We should be unfaithful to ourselves if we should ever lose sight of the danger to our liberties, if anything partial or extraneous should infect the purity of our free, fair, virtuous, and independent elections," end quote. What a prescient statement of John Adams, like many of his were. Do we really understand that free and fair elections are not going to happen again in this country unless the people stand up and get out of office the bureaucrats and the politicians that made this happen in the first place? And part of it is clear. Part of it is clear. Some of it is already actually happening. My sense right now is that many people understand the gravity of the situation here in this country. They're just asking, what do I do about it? And again, the question is not what do you do about it, it's what are you willing to sacrifice. That's going to determine what are you willing to do about it. Because a lot of people don't even want to spend time tackling some of these issues because they've got so many other things going on. Believe me, I understand that. I do. But we need to treat politics as a mission field. And right now, this mission field has grown very dark, where they are literally calling good evil and evil good, where they are trying to make excuses for tyranny and oppression. Some of the language coming out of the Marxists today is absolutely horrendous. I mean, it is as if it's Nazi Germany all over again, the way these people are talking. Blaming everything on Christians, like they demonized the Jews, they're now demonizing Christians. Blaming everything on Christians. And we saw what happens when these Marxists try to do this. They always end up heading toward genocide. And Lenin actually talked about this is the whole point behind it, that they have to go toward genocide, because ultimately the repository of freedom and liberty is in the heart of a people, and the only way to get rid of that is to remove people. That's their point behind this. And so with this continued demonization, it's now more than ever people need to stand up across this country. And it's not. I'm not just talking about protests. I'm talking about holding accountable elected officials who have made promises and claim to be something and then really reveal that they're not by their actions. For example, somebody who would propose a Chinese Communist social credit score system for businesses here locally in Spokane County would not be a conservative, would not be a Republican by definition, because that is the advocation of tyranny. So we need to hold folks accountable for this stuff. There's just no question about it. And there's other people who try to act enlightened, or if they have some sort of a grand strategy in what they're doing by compromising constantly in their rhetoric and in their actions. And really, they don't have a grand strategy at all. They're just trying to go along to get along so that they can remain in their position, which is more important to some of them than their country. And they believe, they think they know so much that it isn't so. It just isn't so. And our job is to make sure that they're educated. Our job is to make sure that when they do make a decision, that they have the best opportunity to make the right decision. And ultimately, that's all we can ever be accountable for, is that we did everything we could to make sure that they had all they could to make the right decision. All right, I want to go down. We're going to move now to the Daily Intelligence briefing on the international front. An IED, yes, you heard that right, an improvised explosive device exploded outside of a COVID testing center in the Netherlands. This occurred amid protests over public health lockdowns in that country. Also, overseas, there's just a lot of things that are beginning to happen overseas. But there was a mass stabbing attack in Vetlanda, Sweden. The assailant was shot by police and is in custody. U.S. Embassy is urging increased caution and awareness. All this is just these things that are ginning up. And there's an 8.1 earthquake that struck in New Zealand. In the ocean, a tsunami warning was issued, but apparently nothing has really happened as far as that's concerned. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot all of a sudden beginning to happen right now. Right now in the world. And there's a reality that's there that we don't need to make anything up, or we don't need to shade anything. And yet the mainstream fake news propaganda media, the communist propaganda arm, is trying to gin up that today there was intelligence that on March 4th, QAnon followers would go and they would raid the capital of the United States, and the Department of Homeland Security had to put it out there that they might be terrorists and these are patriots. It's ridiculous. This is asinine. They're making this stuff up, saying they had good intelligence from where? The Southern Poverty Law Center? Nothing good or intelligent comes out of that place. The fact of the matter is they're trying to gin this up, when in actuality, Antifa posted on their Twitter page, as reported by Andy Ngo, that March 6th was going to be a day for them to, quote, create chaos and destroy, end quote. This is part of what I've been talking about in the Maoist insurgency model, where they will use violent and nonviolent action and leverage it, and it will be coordinated. This is what we've been talking about for all this time, and it's here it is right in front of us. In addition to that, and more interestingly, on the international front, because I'm going to jump back there, the CDC is to begin screening West African travelers for Ebola. It's like they're making it, you know, one more disease. And not to say that Ebola is not bad and not real. It's one of the first diseases I actually studied as part of bioweapons and biowarfare training in the Army. It was one of the books that was given to read was about the weaponization of Ebola. So this issue, combined with cybersecurity threats, again is coming to the forefront, but it's unfortunately being leveraged by U.S. authorities to take away freedom and liberty, when in fact it is exactly the reason that the Constitution was written and drafted, was for emergencies, and it should never be eviscerated because of emergencies. Department of Homeland Security also put out an emergency cybersecurity directive, reference an active exploitation of vulnerabilities in the Microsoft Exchange on-premises products. So again, cybersecurity an issue. Wonder where that came from. And why on earth would the pretender, after his installation within 72 hours, remove protections on our power grid? Very strange. Unless, of course, you know what's going on and what's about to happen. All right. Also, on the international front, there is a push now by the pretender to set up a joint U.S.-Israel, U.S.-led Iranian nuclear talk restart. They're ginning up a crisis over there. That's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening. All right, on the national front, Biden, the pretender, has released migrants with the Chinese Communist Party virus along the U.S. border. Carriers have boarded buses for the heartland and the eastern seaboard. This coming to us from the New American just today. You hear what I just said. He is releasing intentionally illegal aliens who carry the potentially fatal Chinese Communist Party virus. Two weeks before March 1st, the pretender irresponsibly freed 350 possibly diseased illegals into Yuma, Arizona. This is actually a quote in this article from NBC. Quote, several of the asylum seekers who tested positive told Noticias Telemundo Investiga they were planning to leave Brownsville for their destinations. One of them bought a bus ticket for the journey. So, I mean, they're just being like wide open about this, right in your face about this stuff. What do we do next? Well, which is it? Is COVID-19 dangerous or is it not dangerous? Is COVID-19 really killing 500,000 people or is that a lie? Well, as you heard from our guest on the last show, that's really completely untrue. And yet, if that's a fact that the COVID-19 deaths are actually mostly from comorbidities, 94%, then there has to be an agenda for them to release these migrants into our country that are illegal. And nobody's disputing they're illegal aliens. So what's the agenda? I don't know. But I do know that if they're not going to actually investigate real threats to this country, then what good are they? What good is a federal government if they are not actually going to do their job and investigate real threats to this country, like the communists, like the Islamists, like illegal immigration and the gangs that are exploiting that? And the cartels that are exploiting that? And this moves us to the next article from WorldNet Daily. Quote, FBI, no guns recovered during armed insurrection at Capitol, end quote. I want you to hear that again. The FBI is admitting that no guns were recovered during this supposed armed insurrection at the Capitol. I mean, the competence level here is just astounding. But these folks are very smart, so they must have an agenda. They must be shading the truth for an agenda. Here's the quote from the article. How many firearms were confiscated in the Capitol or on Capitol grounds during that day? End quote. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson asked Jill Sanborn, the FBI official, during a Senate Homeland Security hearing. Quote, this is the response. To my knowledge, we have not recovered any on that day from any other arrests at the scene at this point, replied Sanborn, who serves as the FBI Assistant Director for Counterterrorism. I got an idea for you. Listen to the experts that have been telling you where the real threats are for years and start doing some actual investigation into the Chinese Communist Party infiltration in this country, the running of weapons, the infiltration of money and agents into this country. How about we start there? Then we can move to the Muslim Brotherhood infiltration into this country, and then we can move to the intentional setup, funding, and exploitation of particular young people around this country in Antifa and the Black Lives Matter movement, which is run by, quote, trained Marxists, end quote. How about we start there with an actual threat? Instead, oh no, armed insurrection to the Capitol, but we didn't find any guns there. Unbelievable. All right, and then in the corollary to this, also on WorldNet Daily, troops could stay in D.C. as long as they are needed. Okay, I'm gonna say this very clearly. If you have an armed force surrounding your capital, okay, that is typically the sign of a banana republic. If you have to keep the military there, what are you doing that you feel that the people aren't going to like, because perhaps there might be corruption and fraud and, I don't know, unconstitutional actions? And to every member of the United States military, the National Guard, to law enforcement, all the folks that listen to Patriot Radio across this country, there is going to come a point when you have to choose to follow the Constitution or you have to follow these dictators that are usurping power. And so when you make that decision, there is no more sitting on the fence. And I know that most military people I have talked to agree that what is happening with the pretender and the installation is unconstitutional, and many of the actions in the so-called executive orders are likewise unconstitutional. So now it's just a matter of folks saying enough is enough. And instead of letting America go the way of Nazi Germany, where Christians didn't stand up and didn't say, hey, wait, I'm not going to follow that order from the pretender, from the dictator. Instead, they went along with it in Nazi Germany. In America, I have faith. Talking with so many people all over this great country, I have faith that Americans are going to do the right thing and stop this push toward a dictatorship in this country. It's interesting, too, that some military became ill because they were served raw and spoiled food. What are they trying to do? I mean, please, if you're in the armed forces, you're in law enforcement, you're a patriot, start talking to your friends about this stuff. This can't keep going on forever, that these unconstitutional actions, these immoral actions, keep going. It can't go on forever. All right. Also on the national front, The Federal Reserve is investigating a massive outage of its interbank payment system. This is coming to us from Zero Hedge. This included the vital automated clearinghouse system known as the Fed ACH and the Fed Wire Funds Interbank Transfer Service. So could this have been a cyber attack on our vital infrastructure? Possibly. Should we be securing it? I think clearly. I think there's no question that we should be. And yet, instead, they're focusing in Congress on things like H.R. 127. This is coming to us from Readout News. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, not a patriot, who is known for pushing gun control, said, quote, this, okay, ready? Quote, don't condemn the gangbangers. They've got guns that are trafficked, that are not enforced, that are straw purchased, and they come into places even that have strong gun laws. Why? Because we don't have sensible gun legislation. That is oxymoronic. So they introduced House Resolution 127. If the bill should pass, it will immediately require the registration of all firearms and ammunition in your possession, even antique guns that you display in your home, and the deadline for doing so is 3 months, after which you could be fined or imprisoned hundreds of thousands of dollars. And look, the question now to everybody at the local level, I'm talking county commissioners, I'm talking prosecutors, I'm talking sheriffs, and I'm talking everybody in between. Will you enforce such an unconstitutional action? They're clearly pushing this. They've been pushing this for years. Will you enforce it? Or will you do the right thing and stand up against it? Now, going back to the international front quickly. This is coming to us from Liberty Sentinel, an exclusive bombshell spying scandal at UNESCO. In a first-ever espionage scandal for the Paris-based United Nations Educational and Cultural Institution, French national security agents paid a nocturnal visit to the UNESCO headquarters. Not long after that, they entered the headquarters again and spent a weekend there, thus violating the Vienna Convention and the host country agreement signed by France and UNESCO. This was revealed by a whistleblower to Liberty Sentinel. Anyway, do we really need to be part of the United Nations? No. Just another reason. All right. Also, coming back to the regional front, this coming to us again from Readout News, prosecuted for sharing stickers in Moscow, some might say Soviet, Moscow, Idaho. It has now gone viral. Moscow's liberal-controlled city council gave extended emergency powers to the Democrat mayor in response to the COVID-1984 outbreak. They imposed a mask mandate that has been repeatedly extended without additional rules, seemingly designed to simply harass citizens. Because here's a really key thing here. It is government's job to actually prove there is an actual emergency. If you can't prove there's an actual emergency, for example, if you can't prove that this is no higher than the seasonal flu and other comorbidities, if you can't prove an actual emergency, you have no justification for your emergency powers. Second point is this. You have to prove, as the government, the causal relationship between the business that you're locking down or you're requiring all these mandates and the actual emergency. They can do neither right now with any empirical evidence. And the burden of proof is always on the government to try to restrict a constitutionally protected right. It's always on them. It's not on us. It's on them. And they're not doing that. And this is where it's coming, okay? Where they're starting to arrest people for stickers in Moscow, Idaho. The fireworks came in Moscow, Idaho, when the stickers appeared on city phone poles. Not like there's any Antifa or Black Lives Matter stickers on those phone poles, right? This crime is normally associated with people posting yard sale signs and lost cat posters. See, this is harassment. You know, and in the Declaration of Independence, it talked about how King George III sent forth hither swarms of officers to eat out our substance, right? And this is where it's coming. These bureaucrats should not have any control. They don't have arbitrary emergency powers. They don't have any of this stuff. It's all unconstitutional. It is totally made up. And it is totally blown out of proportion. And so we, the people, need to stand up and say enough is enough. And we need to throw out of office all these bureaucrats and these politicians. And by the way, I want to talk about this quickly. There's been a push again for term limits for people in politics. This misses the point. Term limits misses the point. It's not the elected officials. And that's, I'm not excusing any of the weird actions that elected officials do or their failure to follow the Constitution. But the entrenchment of this mentality that the people serve them instead of the other way around is in the bureaucracy. That's what needs the term limits. That's what needs to have people kicked out of it and have massive shrinking in their funding. It's the bureaucracy. Understand that. The bureaucracy is totally unaccountable. And that is where we need and should focus our efforts. So, lastly, on the local front, to challenge all of this, on April 8th, we are going to be doing the Iron Sharpens Iron Conference. At Covenant Church, myself, Pastor Ken Peters, Pastor John Schrock, Bevelin Beatty, we're all going to be there, and we are going to crush the communist narrative, the communist propaganda, fake news media. We're going to demolish them on that night. So if you're available, April 8th, the Iron Sharpens Iron Conference, Covenant Church in Spokane. I've got it up on all the social media sites, so follow me on Gab, MeWe, follow me on WeSpeak. And if you're still on Facebook, it's there too. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, make sure you go to iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon, where you can hear the podcast. And I want to give a special shout-out to our truckers. You guys are doing an amazing job. Thank you for being patriots. And honk your horn if you're out there right now. All right, it is my pleasure today, as promised, actually, we talked about this, as promised, it is my pleasure to introduce Matt Truella, who is an author and a pastor, but most importantly, and for the purposes of the show today, he authored something that is, I think, a profound political science contribution called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, A Proper Resistance to Tyranny and a Repudiation of Unlimited Obedience to Civil Government. He is the pastor of Mercy Seat Christian Church, founded in 1989 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Pastor Truella, thanks so much for joining me today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Matt. Good to be with you.
It's great to finally have you on. I'm really excited about this, and I want to start with something that most people have never heard of, the Magdeburg Confession. Most people might think that that's a place in southern Kentucky or something, but it's actually in Germany. Can you set the stage for the history in Christianity of where the doctrine of the lesser magistrates comes from?
Sure. It was first formalized in Magdeburg, Germany in the year 1550. And how it came about was in 1546, Luther died. And when Luther died, Charles V wanted to re-Romanize all of the Protestant lands and bring them back under Roman Catholic belief, practice, and rule. And most all of Germany went along with it. Even Melanchthon went along with it, who was Luther's heir apparent. But there was another close friend of Martin Luther's who didn't go along with it. His name was Nicholas von Amsdorff. And Nicholas von Amsdorff had been preaching in Magdeburg, Germany, since 1524. Now, Nicholas von Amsdorff was put in the pulpit in Magdeburg, Germany, by Luther himself. Magdeburg was the first city to embrace the Reformation, and Luther thought so highly of von Amsdorff, he put him in the pulpit there. So the magistrates and the people of that city have been sitting under his ministry for over two decades at that point. So when Charles issued his Augsburg Interim, which was to bring everybody back under the authority of the Roman Catholic Church and its rule, Nicholas von Amsdorff sat down and wrote a confession called the Magdeburg Confession. That's what we call it today, where they showed from scripture and history that their magistrates were right to defy the emperor. So it was really, it's the story of a city that defied an empire and actually won. That's where the doctrine of lesser magistrates was first formalized. In fact, when they issued their confession shortly after Charles V marched on the city, there was a 13-month siege. And in the end, the Magdeburgers won. Over 4,000 of Charles' men were killed. 468 Magdeburgers were killed. But in the end, Charles ceded. It had not been for the interposition of that one lone city in all of Germany, the Reformation very well may have just been a blip on the radar screen of the history of man. That's how important their interposition was, man.
So let's talk about this idea of interposition. This is actually a Christian idea. And let's start with the very clear theological underpinnings from Jesus Christ himself, but also from Paul in Romans 13 and other scriptures. I'll let you just go and explain this because I think it is so critical. This was reinforced at the Nuremberg trials, and it should be reinforced today with some of the tyranny that we're facing.
Yes, it was reinforced at the Nuremberg trials. Yeah, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is rooted in the historic Christian doctrine of interposition. And, of course, we see interposition throughout Scripture. You mentioned Christ himself and the interposition he did for us there at Calvary. But often what interposition takes place for situations like, remember the Hebrew midwives. They were told by Pharaoh to kill the male Hebrew children. Instead of obeying, they decided to interpose and keep them from being murdered. That's interposition. You may recall King Saul making his foolish edict that no one could eat until the battle was over. His son Jonathan didn't hear about the edict, ate a little honey. Saul was going to kill his own son. And it says in the scripture that the people said, not one hair shall be touched on the head of him who brought Israel such a great victory today. So there we see the interposition of the people on behalf of Jonathan. So when it comes to the interposition of the lesser magistrate, he actually uses his lawful office. He possesses lawful authority, and he checks the bad behavior, the wicked behavior, the evil behavior of the superior authority that's acting lawlessly. The duty of the lesser magistrates in the face of evil by the superior authority is not blithe compliance, like we have seen overwhelmingly across America. Rather, their duty is interposition, to defy the superior authority, to check them in their evil. And we have seen countless examples of that in America over the last year from county sheriffs, county boards, and others. So this doctrine of interposition is a historic doctrine. You can find it in the Old Testament. You can find it in non-Jewish, non-Christian nations showing it's natural to man. And you find it in Scripture and the history of man, valuable for today, needed in this very hour in our country where we see much evil being made through law by our magistrates.
So define for some people that might not understand the word magistrate, what does that actually translate into in practical terms, and what magistrate should we be looking to right now to interpose on our behalf with some of the things coming out of the pretender in the White House?
Sure. So, what was your question again, Matt? I got distracted here for a second.
No, it's no problem. So the question is, for people that don't understand what a magistrate is, if you could define what that is, sure. What does that mean in practical terms for regular folks?
Absolutely. When we talk about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, the word magistrate is just an old English term for any government official, whether elected or appointed. So the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is that when the superior authority makes unjust or immoral law, policy, or court opinion, it is the right, it is the duty of the lesser civil authority to not obey, and if necessary, to actively resist the superior authority that's acting lawlessly. This is incredibly important for this to be done, because the tyrant superior authority always counts on the compliance of the lesser authorities in order to get their evil down in the fabric of society. They count on that, and when they no longer have that compliance from the lesser authorities, that's when they know they have a problem on their hands. And so the interposition of the lesser magistrates is massively important to rein in the tyranny of the lawlessness of the superior authority, and they can often do it bloodlessly. Regarding our day, as you had mentioned, Biden and the Democrats, for example, talking about, you know, gun registration, gun confiscation, new laws regarding the Second Amendment. And just to give you one example of interposition by a county, just 2 weeks ago, Newton County, Missouri, put together an ordinance to check Biden and the Democratic federal government. They passed an ordinance which declared that any law made by the federal government that infringes upon their citizens' Second Amendment rights is null, void, and of no authority in their county. Number one, that's what they did. Secondly, they declared in their ordinance that their sheriff has the duty to arrest any federal agents who come in to try to establish that law which infringes upon their citizens' Second Amendment rights. And thirdly, it removes from office any county official who might work in cahoots with federal authority to try to infringe upon their citizens' Second Amendment rights. So that is the interposition of a lesser magistrate. So it's an historic doctrine, but it still needs application today.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because I've heard that the objection to this is this is actually just your interpretation of what's right, and this is going to lead to chaos. This is going to lead to bloodshed. You kind of alluded to this already a little bit. And it's also this idea, too, that it's sour grapes. You're just not really wanting to go along with the fact that we live in a democracy, even though we actually live in a republic.
Yeah, well, that's all nonsense. Here's an important part of the doctrine of lesser magistrate. In fact, it's the key. It's the linchpin of the whole doctrine. And that is that the law and word of God is the objective standard to which all men and all governments of men are accountable. And that's absolutely important. I have many libertarian friends who love my book, except that chapter. I always explain to them, I said, remove that part of the doctrine and it all collapses on itself. Because if the law and word of God is not the objective standard, divine law is not the objective standard, who or what is? You? The Supreme Court? This is massively important, and if you study the history of Western civilization, it's part of what made Western civilization great, is the fact that the law of God, for nearly 1,800 years, was the objective standard to which all men and all governments of men were accountable. I don't care if you read Alfred the Great in the 9th century, or if you read John of Salisbury in the 12th century, or you read William Blackstone in the 18th century. They all said that God's law is the higher law to which all men and all governments of men were accountable, and that any law made contrary to that or exceeding the limits of those in civil authority is to be opposed. That's extremely important to understand. Now, over the last 200 years, what we've seen is the law of God has been thrown under the bus. And because of that, now the state is able to make up law the rule of law from mere whim, out of thin air. And because we've removed the objective standard of the law and word of God, people can't recognize tyranny when it's taking place. So when the civil authorities act outside the confines of God's law or outside the confines of our Constitution, because we live here in America, we know that's lawless, we know that's wrong, and good men will oppose that and must oppose that. And the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is an important tool which helps rein in the tyranny of lawless statist men.
So then we have this pushback that right now we do live in a constitutional republic, but many are saying we live in a democracy, and that what you're really doing is undermining the will of the majority for your own selfish aims and agenda. How do you directly address that? I would consider it a ridiculous objection, but I hear it quite a bit.
Yeah, no, they're the ones who've been trampling the will of the majority for decades. I've watched it in my lifetime. They couldn't get, you know, legalized abortion through representative government, so they foisted it upon the people through raw judicial power. They couldn't get, you know, the decriminalization of sodomy and the legalization of sodomite marriage, you know, through representative government. So they foist upon the people through raw judicial power. This is what governments have been doing. Our government has been doing for decades. It makes law which is designed to corrupt the morals of the people. Every good statist knows that in order to strengthen the state, you have to weaken the family. So they've made laws to do that. You know, no-fault divorce is one of them. Decriminalization of adultery is another. The legalization of homosexual marriage is another. These are all designed to weaken the fabric of the family, because as you do that, you're able to strengthen the state. This is something the Roman government did. This is something you can demonstrate from governments down through the history of man. They'll make law and policy, Matt, in order to weaken the family and decrepit the morals of the people. And of course, the nature of man is such that we are wicked and we're in need of a savior. So it's easy for the magistrates to make bad law in order to help further corrupt the morals of the people. I remember when I was young, the majority of people clearly were against the slaughter of the preborn. But then once the federal courts did what they did and the Supreme Court did what it did, there was a change. Same thing with homosex. I watched it. People were overwhelmingly opposed to it until the government foisted it upon the people. So they're the ones who've acted outside the law. They're the ones who've been acting lawlessly. Meanwhile, our side, stupidly, has been all focused on Washington, D.C., waiting every 4 years for another president to bring in other new Supreme Court justice appointees. This is all nonsense. Our founders established a true federalism. In a true federalism, you have multiple levels of government, multiple branches at each level. So if any one branch or branches begin to act unconstitutionally, tyrannically, immorally, it is the duty of the other another branch or branches to check that branch or branches that are acting lawlessly, not just go along with it. Even if the branch is the Supreme Court itself, they are to check that branch. There's this whole idea of, you know, judicial supremacy, which is a complete fiction created by lawyers in this country. You know, that number one, any opinions issued by the court are the law of the land. That is absolutely not true. Article 1, Section 1 says that all lawmaking power resides within Congress, which consists of a House and a Senate. The federal judiciary and the Supreme Court does not have lawmaking power. Secondly, they say that the Supreme Court, when it comes to judicial supremacy, is the final arbiter of all constitutional questions. That is not true. Thomas Jefferson, who spent the last 20 years of his life at war with the federal judiciary, said that the Constitution has not erected any such tribunal. Every magistrate, from a policeman to the president, takes an oath, not of subservience to the federal government, They do not take an oath to uphold unjust or immoral opinions issued by SCOTUS. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution. So when the other branches act unconstitutionally, they have a duty and a right to interpose against them. And Jefferson made clear the Constitution is easily understood. Everyone knows the Supreme Court has rewritten the Constitution through its case law and court opinions, and that shouldn't have been allowed to happen. Thirdly, they say that when it comes to judicial supremacy, everyone else has to obey whatever the Supreme Court decides is or isn't constitutional. That is a lie. And people need to realize that, and they need to demand of their state authorities, their county authorities, and their local authorities to check the superior authorities when they act lawlessly, contrary to the law of God or against our constitutions or the statutes of our land.
So then the natural question that comes after this is, okay, so somebody at the local level, let's say a county sheriff or a county prosecutor, or better yet, both, stand up and say, hey, we're not going to enforce these unconstitutional edicts coming down from the pretender. And all of a sudden, the pretender says, well, we're going to make you do it. Mm-hmm. And there's a flashpoint. Yeah. And people say, see, we told you it was going to be a flashpoint. You caused this. How do you address that?
It's part of the process. It has to happen. If you just comply with the tyrant authority, you give the tyrant authority the convenience to build the next plank of their tyranny. It's massively important that good men stand in defiance of tyranny, because that forces the tyrant's superior authority out of his lair. He has to show his fangs, and then people see him for the tyrant that he is. If everybody just goes along with it, he can continue his tyranny and not look like a tyrant. It's only when good men stand against the tyrant that he's forced to show his fangs and his true behavior for what he is. So it's massively important for the lesser magistrates to stand in interposition against the evil of the tyrant's superior authority. Massively important.
I completely agree, and I think that's really what freedom and liberty are hinging on, this idea and this principle and people standing up. I've watched so many county commissioners and other elected officials, and even worse, bureaucrats, who just they would rather just follow orders, keep their head down, than do the right thing. But that's not what we're called to do as Americans.
Absolutely not. And I'll tell you what I've been experiencing, Matt, because of my book. The book has sold nearly 50,000 copies now. And since last November, it's just soaring off the shelves. And it's like, so I talk to people from coast to coast, and this is, there's no financial bigwig, there's no, you know, central power. It's just happening with amongst the people. They are getting involved in county and local government in hordes. I mean, massive amounts of people. It's happening from coast to coast just by itself. And I think it's because, A, they've already seen what we have with the federal government. And secondly, they've also seen that even many of the state governments, you know, they can't look to them. There, you know, there hasn't been one legislature, Matt, in the entire nation that's checked one of these lawless governors. Not one. Now, we've seen sheriffs defy them at the county level. We've seen county boards defy them. We've seen mayors. We've seen city councils defy them. But not one legislature. Not one. And so I think people realize how important it is to get involved in local government. So this whole thing of them stealing the election and the election fraud they did and everything, yeah, they meant that for evil. I'm telling you, God's using it for good, because for the first time, people are actually realizing, quit focusing on D.C. Get involved in local government so that you can strengthen it and check the federal beast from their evil, or in some cases, the state beast from their evil. This is massively important. I could tell you so many good stories of interposition in that regards over the last year.
And we had a personal story up here in Priest River, Idaho, where they tried to come take a veteran's guns here a few years ago. And we stood with the county sheriff there, and they backed completely down and then actually magically waved a wand and cured the veteran of his inability to have firearms, you know, without ever reevaluating him. You know, it's just it is so important, and it's so successful. But a lot of people say, ah, it's just never going to work. But it does. It works all the time.
It does. Let me share. And I remember that story in the news, the one you just shared. Let me share another quick one with you, if we have time for that.
We have about 3 minutes. Yep.
3 minutes. Okay. Madison County. This is Illinois. Pritzker's the governor. Last May, all the governors are coming out with new edicts every 72 hours. His latest one, Governor Pritzker's, was no businessman can open their business in the state unless I say you can open your business. One county, Madison County, on the banks of the Mississippi River, one county out of 102 in Illinois, assembled their supervisors board together, county board together, and they issued a decree stating that all of their businessmen are free to reopen, and then cautioned the governor and the state from if they interfered with their businessmen, and that they would use all their authority to protect their businessmen. So Pritzker, the tyrant, responded in good tyrant fashion. He threatens their federal money, threatens to, you know, punch them around the room, all the usual stuff that tyrant says. And lo and behold, 1 week after this lone county interposes on behalf of their businessmen, the Illinois State Police issue a press release declaring that they will not arrest any businessmen in the entire state based on opening their business before Pritzker says they can. And guess what? The very next day, Pritzker rescinded his order. That is the doctrine of the lesser magistrate, how it's meant to work. Massively important in these days here in America.
Amen. And I would like to give you the last 2 minutes that we have right now. Talk directly to pastors who may be reticent to embrace this doctrine or even preach it from the pulpits.
Absolutely. Okay, so the doctrine is founded in Scripture. The best treatise ever written on the doctrine was by John Knox in his Appellation to the Nobles of Scotland. He cited over 70 passages of Scripture to show that the doctrine is sound in the Word of God. Here's what I've been noticing. Pastors are beginning to wake up. This pastor up in Canada who is in jail right now, James Coates, because it's wicked, way worse up there what they've been doing to people than even here. And so he takes a stand, which, by the way, a brother from his church just called today to order a case of books. They said 6 weeks ago, we didn't even know about the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. And then we, you know, read your book, we saw this, and yeah, our pastor has taken a stand. Him taking that stand has pastors and churchmen and Christians across Canada and, of course, America also questioning, how far do we go? How much do we obey? That conversation needs to take place because churchmen have misinterpreted Romans 13 for a long time. If people go to our website, defytyrants.com, just look up Romans 13. It's the appendix. It's one of the appendixes in my book where I take to task the misinterpretations that we're always to obey the civil authorities. That needs to be taken to task. Also, we have a great animated 7-minute video we made on Romans 13 at our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel called Defy Tyrants. And if you go there, those two tools are awesome to use in conversations, also for social media, because this topic comes up all the time amongst family, friends, church members, and you need to be able to respond properly to it. And they're great little tools just to post and give to people who are trying to propagate the idea, well, we just have to obey. It's not true.
It is not true. And in fact, our republic hinges on us embracing this. Pastor Matruella, thank you so much for joining me today on Patriot Radio. Blessings to you, and keep up the fight.
Hey, thank you, Matt. God bless you.
All right. Pastor Matruella, founder of the pro-life organization Missionaries to the Preborn, author of the book The Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates, A Proper Resistance to Tyranny and a Repudiation of Unlimited Obedience to Civil Government. If you have never heard of the doctrine of lesser magistrates, now I was acquainted with this several years ago when we were deep in the 10th Amendment movement. This is so important. We are not supposed to obey unlawful, immoral, unconstitutional edicts. We're not supposed to do it. We are supposed to stand up as God has told us to do against tyranny, against this repression, against this wickedness. This is key to Western civilization. And as he was talking about, I mean, this goes all the way back to 1550. And what is birthed out of this standing against wickedness is actually life. What is birthed out of this is hope. What is birthed out of this is freedom, because it's coming from Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ himself interposed on our behalf. He stood in the gap on our behalf against wickedness that was seeking our lives, actually, if you think about it. So again, Pastor Matt Truella, take a look at his book, The Doctrine of Lesser Magistrates. It is absolutely fundamental reading for every Christian. If your pastor has never read that and you are listening to this show, buy a copy for your pastor and hand it to him. Encourage him to preach about it on a Sunday so that we reclaim these truths that for centuries we're in the church, but now for some reason there's this amnesia about them. Well, let's shake out of the fog and get back to the truth and get back to courage in the Christian church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was absolutely right. The church, the pulpits need to be on fire with the truth of God, and we need to be the confessing church. Confessing what? The truth of Almighty God. And part of that truth is this doctrine of lesser magistrates. Part of that truth is doing the right thing, regardless of what anybody else is doing around you. We are doing the right thing. We will do the right thing because Jesus Christ himself has called us to do that. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.